Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. Catch up with John McClain here in just a second, as we usually do. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
I saw the NFL schedule be released a week from today.
I know why they drag this on, because it's money, but it just annoys me. John McClain joins us now here on the program. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're fantastic. Do you agree? I mean, we know why they drag things on, like the draft and now the schedule. They've made the schedule release a thing because it's, you know, they know people are going to pay attention and they're going to watch and it's more money in their pocket. But just release the damn schedule.
Well, that's what they used to do, and it got attention for about a day because it was about a week, about 10 days before the draft. And somebody came up with the idea, let's wait a couple of weeks after the draft, which was your typical genius promotion by the NFL. I know I've written two columns for HoustonTexans.com about their schedule, even though we know who they're going to play. And then I'll write a couple of more after it's announced. So the idea, they used to own April, and in May started to transition toward baseball and the playoffs and the NHL and the NBA, and now the NFL, it's weird because we all know who they're playing, but we're holding our breath to see who. And I, as I wrote today, I've always been excited about the schedule, more so when the team's good, whether it was the Oilers, the Texans. And last year I was not. I just always looked at the first and last games and then when they played the AFC South, specifically the Titans. But now that the Texans are better, they had no primetime games last year till the last one at Indy, which was a TBD, to be determined. And all their games were at noon, which is great if you're a writer, and because you don't have to rush on the deadline. But the last game turned out to be for the AFC South title, and they put it in primetime. And the Texans beat the Colts in Indianapolis, and then their next two, of course, were in the playoffs. They were nationally televised. So they finished the season with three in a row. So now everybody here thinks they'll get five. I don't think you go from one TBD to five because there are other interesting teams in the NFL. But the Texans' first-place schedule is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so the column I wrote today was the five primetime games I'd like to see, starting with the Cowboys if it was not on Thanksgiving. And so it's much more interesting. So now I'm looking for the first and last games, look for the bye week, look for the AFC South, look for primetime games and any that might be late window in the afternoon. And if any are going to be on their streaming services and Peacock, or Amazon. So there's a lot to look forward to as far as the schedule. But they do it because everything written gets clicks, everything broadcast on talk shows, tweeted, everything else. It just creates attention, and the NFL now owns May as well.
Yes, they do. John McClain is with us. So what did you think about the Titans bringing on Tyler Boyd? He's reunited with head coach Brian Callahan after they spent time together in Cincinnati. How do you think he's going to fit?
I thought that it was a really good move. You cannot have enough weapons. And you think about Calvin Ridley and now Tyler Boyd, DeAndre Hopkins. You hope in the third season that Burks finally lives up to what he was supposed to be when he was drafted. And I'll give you guys some historical perspective for everybody out there that thinks Burks is never going to make it. In 1987, the Oilers had two number one draft choices, and one of them was a receiver from North Carolina State, Haywood Jeffries. And Haywood had put on a great show catching the ball at the combine, and his stock skyrocketed. Nobody talked about him before that. But he looked great in shorts and a T-shirt. And then he came in 87. They went on strike. The league did. You know, they played three games. Haywood, it was a washout season. He crossed the picket line late. He didn't do anything. Second year, he didn't do anything. And going into his third year, we all thought Awood Jeffrey was going to be a wasted number one draft choice. And at that point, they had come off their first playoff season in 6 years, and they were about to go on a roll of 7 in a row. But Awood, all of a sudden, in his third season, he kind of grew up, got serious about the game instead of buying expensive cars every week. And he became a Pro Bowl and All-Pro receiver, one of Warren Moon's favorite targets. And he was one of the great, great Oiler receivers who is still beloved in our city. And so you don't, to me, if a guy bombs out as a rookie, as long as he's putting in the effort and the time, you can't call him a bust. And if he doesn't do it in the second year, then everybody's got to be skeptical going in a third. And if you don't do it in 3 years, you're gone, whether it's to another team or out of football. Rare is the bust who is so bad. Was Isaiah Wilson, is that his name?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure y'all remember him very well. I don't know how a guy like that got drafted to begin with, because it seemed like, based on everything we saw about his heart and his attitude, they would have been able to tell you that at Georgia. But anyway, that's rare. So maybe Burks, this will be his season to step up with all that other talent around him. He obviously is not going to get double teamed at any point. But anytime you add a weapon, especially somebody the head coach wants, that is very, very good, a shrewd move.
John, I'm going back and looking through when the Oilers in the 80s and 90s, and Chase had this question yesterday about where do you build your team now, through the draft or free agency? You know, back in the 80s and 90s, you had the 12 rounds. You could get 12, maybe 13 players. Now with 7 rounds, you're lucky that 2 or 3 of these guys stick around. So do you want to build a team through free agency now, or is the draft still really important to your team?
No, it's still really important. And it's interesting because the 7th pick used to be a mid-round pick. And Blaine Bishop was 8 rounds. He was an 8th round pick the only year they had 8 rounds. And so there's guys in the Hall of Fame who were 18th round. So today, if you see an undrafted free agent make it, people are like, wow, well, it shouldn't be. Undrafted free agents might used to have been a mid-round pick under the old format. So the problem with getting free agents from other teams, there's a reason they're available. And in most of the reasons that their former team didn't deem them good enough to spend the money on them, or they had other financial issues. Usually, if you really want to get something done financially, you can get it done with a player. There's things you can do, redoing contracts, pushing money down the road, giving them more guaranteed money. So that's the problem with getting another team's players. The Texans signed, I think, 18 free agents, 14 on defense because of the quarterbacks they're going against next season. And they re-signed 4 of their defensive players and drafted 5. Now, I don't know how many of those free agents will make it. Obviously, you don't have a lot of room compared to what they had this time last year. But I think, Joe, anybody will tell you, you still start with the draft as the lifeblood of any organization, and you fill in with free agents. And unless, like Rand Cawthon, you're got a lot of cap money and you have the freedom to spend it, you don't have an owner that's going to step in and say, okay, I don't want to give this much on a signing bonus. You know, Amy Adams Strong signs off on everything. And so Rand took advantage of his situation this year. Next year, they might not have anywhere near that cap room. And people go, well, why are you not going out and getting players like last year? So the thing is, as you mentioned earlier about more rounds, there used to be more rounds. Well, there's no such thing as free agency. Then there was Plan B free agency, which I forgot even what it was. And then they started, and then their first free agency was restricted. We got a taste of what it would be like in 1984 when Warren Moon came out of Edmonton in the Canadian Football League, and he was a true unrestricted free agent because he signed with Edmonton before the draft in 1978. So nobody had his rights. And so team, almost every team in the league that needed a quarterback was after him, and he narrowed it down to Houston and Seattle and signed a contract that was the biggest in NFL history at the time. Think about this. 1984, 5 years, $5 million. We were all shocked that Bud Adams would pay that kind of money for a player.
Wow. We'll have more with the great John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Wednesday. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Continuing our conversation with John McClain from Houston, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work.
John, I'm like you. I love the history of the National Football League, and oftentimes we overlook people who are instrumental to the game of football and they pass away. But your thoughts on Joe Collier, who passed away yesterday? I mean, one of the great innovators of the 3-4 defense with Denver for so many years. That's just a huge loss for football. But what a great man and what he gave to the sport of the National Football League.
Joe Collier was 91 when he died. He was an icon in Denver, especially because he had coached a lot of places, but that's where he made his mark. He always had really good front seven. Dan Reeves was his head coach, and Reeves just totally left the defense to Collier, and that's smart. You know, that's what a good head coach does. And so it's a big loss for the Broncos and the state of Colorado because he meant so much to that franchise.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that these guys, you know, be honored when what they gave to the game because often now they get overlooked in a lot of things. John, a few weeks ago, Travis Kelce signed another extension, come back highest paid tight end in football. When you look at them and all the distractions off the field, trying to be the first football team to win 3 Super Bowls, I mean, this is a daunting task for this football team going forward, but they did add some pieces. If you look at the game right now and all the teams, are they number one, the team, to get to the Super Bowl?
Well, they have to be just because of what they've done the last 2 years. You know, Andy Reid, it's so funny. Before he got Patrick Mahomes, Andy was recognized as a really good coach, couldn't win a Super Bowl, and made a lot of mistakes with clock management. Then he trades up to get Mahomes, and the rest is history. Now he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, and he might end up as all-time winning his coach if he stays healthy. And so I think that no Super Bowl, no team during the Super Bowl era has won 3 in a row. It's great motivation for them. It's great motivation for their opponents. You know, the fact that they play a first-place schedule every year and they continue to win Super Bowls is amazing. You know, last year in the regular season, you know, they weren't dominant at all. Their defense was better than their offense. Steve Spagnuolo did a tremendous job, and he was defensive coach of the year, assistant coach of the year, and they've got the band back, and they had, you know, Andy Reid, when he traded with Buffalo to get Xavier Worthy from the University of Texas, who set that record at the combine in the 40, he's got plans for him. And I can't wait to see how he uses him because watching Worthy, he's more than just a fast guy. Now, people worry about his size. He's not short. He's just really thin. And but, you know, Travis Kelce should be the one who benefits the most from him because you send him down the field or Hollywood Brown or both of them, that just clears out the middle of the field for Kelce.
We're talking to John McClain from Houston. I have a hypothetical question for you because we love those this time of year. I know Buffalo won 5 in a row to end the season. They end up winning the division, but there's a lot of expectations with that football team, especially with Josh Allen. If things don't go their way this year, and losing Diggs, I think, is going to be a big loss for them, could you see a scenario where maybe they move on from Sean McDermott and could Bill Belichick be the call?
They would have to bomb out significantly, but I don't think he'd get fired after one season for being a Super Bowl contender. There's so many instances where teams couldn't get to the title game and then when they changed coaches, it turned out to be a mistake because they did not bring in the right guy. And as long as Allen's there, as long as you've got your quarterback, you can build around him. And they, last year, when they went to Joe Brady, they put a new emphasis on running the ball, throwing to the backs, utilizing both of their outstanding tight ends. And that's why I think they'll be able to withstand the loss of Diggs more than a lot of people think. But they're still the favorite. You know, Miami has to play in cold weather in the playoffs. I don't think they'd ever be favored. Now, maybe they could win in Buffalo. They couldn't win in Kansas City, but few win in Kansas City. So I think, you know, New England doesn't have a prayer. But if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, you know, that division with those top three teams is going to be very, very interesting. But I do not think if Sean McDermott got fired, they would bring in Bill Belichick, because Belichick, according to reports out of Atlanta, wanted to get all of his former coaches together. That means the Patriot way, and that's a radical change. I think, you know, I'm sure Bill, when he comes back, would like to go to a good team with a great quarterback, but that's usually not how it works.
Do you feel like in watching him, and, you know, he was on the McAfee show for the draft and is going to do that more. He did Brady's roast and was kind of showing the other side of Belichick, the sense of humor. Do you think that that's all calculated and showing that he's not just this, you know, jerk that everybody thinks he is, and in hopes of helping him get a job next year?
No, I've seen Belichick behind the scenes quite a bit, and he's always been like that. People that know him, what he's not is when he's standing in front of his team, he thinks anything could be a morsel of information to help the other team. So that's how he always is. But if he's done things where he narrated World War II documentaries. He's a very interesting, smart guy who has a great personality. I was privileged to be on the Hall of Fame Centennial Committee with people like him and John Madden and Gil Brandt and other longtime NFL people. And we had conference calls every Friday after Belichick was done. And he worked his tail off on the Centennial Hall of Fame class. And he was funny and interesting. And then I saw him in person for 2 days behind the scenes at the Hall of Fame while we were determining the class and meeting. And he was great. So that's who he is. And I think it's great that people are finally getting to see who he is. He just needs to be really careful next time he's at a woman's home who has a doorbell camera. He needs to put his shirt on before he goes outside, unless it was torn off.
Wow. Before that, you got your thoughts as we look ahead to 2025. This is a great debate, John. Eli Manning for the Hall of Fame. And so I don't know where to land on this because his stats aren't, you know, whatever, but he is a two-time champion and all
He's
that.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
And it's going to be a debate, John. So are you ready for this debate in this coming, I guess, this fall or next year?
Yeah, I'm always ready for the debates, and I'm always keeping an open mind. But you get in the Hall of Fame because of an entire body of work, not because of two games and two great plays. And one of them, Eli's best play, was getting away from the pass rush. And then David Tyree made one of the two greatest catches in Super Bowl history, along with Julian Edelman here in Houston against Atlanta. So I'm sure there'll be a big debate. I'd be really surprised if Eli got in on the first ballot, because you got to be a no-brainer. There's other quarterbacks who've won two Super Bowls. So it's going to be a great debate, and I can't wait.
Yeah, so the only other Super Bowl quarterback who's not in the Hall of Fame, winning two of those, the great Jim Plunkett. So there is a narrative for not getting in, but we shall see.
Big Ben's going to be coming up, too. He got two, even though one of them he was awful and had nothing to do with. He still got the ring.
They're right, John.
It's going to be interesting for sure. John, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Chase Big Joe, thank you guys very much, as always.
Awesome. The great John McClain joining us. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.